Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ground ball left side, Bregman has it, fires to second, ball game over. And the Houston Astros win the opening game of this series, the final Houston 8, the Red Sox 4, Red Sox drop their second straight. And the first meeting with Houston this year goes to the Astros.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
Well, a bullpen letdown ends up letting the Sox down. 8-4, Astros take it over the Red Sox in game one of this three-game set at Fenway Park. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Thanks for joining us on this Friday evening. Zach Coe behind the glass. We want to hear from you after this one. If you're driving home from Fenway, frustrated that the team couldn't get the job done when they had a 3-1 lead going into the seventh inning, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. You can also text us, as you know, at 37937 as well. We're going to hear from Alex Cora in one moment, but a frustrating loss for this team in a couple different ways. Offensively, we know how good this group has been, especially since the All-Star break. They finished tonight 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. There were opportunities to cash in. But the biggest letdown is the way the bullpen performed tonight. Because with where this starting rotation is at, with guys that are either hit their innings limit or surpassed it, specifically somebody like Tanner Houck tonight, who gave you six innings, and despite not getting a lot of swing and misses, only two tonight, and he only had one strikeout, he was able to give you six innings of one-run ball. That should be enough. And it wasn't, because the bullpen allows seven runs in three innings of work. And this is a bullpen already since the All-Star break that has been one of the worst in Major League Baseball. That's why Craig Breslow added at the trade deadline to help this group out. And then in the immediacy of that, it did work. Lucas Sims ends up having a meltdown today with four runs allowed in a third of an inning. And the bullpen, again, seven runs in three innings in total. And they end up wasting the Red Sox a good start from Tanner Houck, and one in which the Red Sox should have cashed in a win. And they didn't. And now we see how this team responds tomorrow and Sunday against an Astros team that, after a brutal start to the season, is back to being the Astros team that we know and, frankly, kind of hate to watch. A team that's made the ALCS seven straight years with that same core. And Kyle Tucker is not available right now, but you still have Altuve, you still have Bregman, you still have Alvarez, and this team's tough to take down. And they just showed it. Four-run seventh inning completely flipped the script tonight. Again, 617-779-7937. Let's now hear from Alex Cora what he had to say after this loss here to the Astros.
What did you think of the start by Tanner?
It was a good one. I gave a six. Pitch out of trouble, a few walks here and there, but I think the pitch usage was really good. I think his sinker played tonight. Got some ground balls. So he did an amazing job.
He gets a lot more contact than he usually does.
They don't strike out. They swing and they put the ball in play. So I think it worked to our favor early in the game.
The last like, month or so, most of his starts, he's had one or two strikeouts, a little more than that after striking out four plus in 16 to 17 before he then shoot. What are you seeing differently from him since the last six starts or so?
I think we talked about it before the game, kind of like, you know, they, at this point in August, you know, teams make adjustments. I do believe that we're facing veteran lineups that not everybody prepares for everybody, you know, but it's a veteran team that they take away certain pitches and that's how it works. You know, San Diego did it to him. It's August, you know, and then everybody has information. You have to execute, and I do believe today he executed.
With Tanner getting you six, you know, obviously you guys are in good position at that point. How well did you feel like the bullpen was set up? And then how, you know, what
did you see? I mean, we've been talking about this since the trading deadline, right? We're getting healthy and we got arms, and it didn't happen today. I always said that that's a fast break offense. You know, when they get going, they get going. And, you know, they hit the triple, we got the strikeout, then the little man got a sweeper in his nitro zone, and that's what he does, you know. So and then after that we weren't able to slow them down, and I've seen that game a lot since game four of 21. You know, it's just happens quick, you know, and they do a good job putting the ball in play, hitting the ball hard early in counts, you know. They're very aggressive, and today we didn't do a job.
Good to see your guys play tonight.
I mean, we did an amazing job. I mean, we pushed everything. We used everybody today. And we had, you know, a lot of opportunities. They made some pitches, but I do believe, you know, we put pressure on them.
Tanner was at 82 pitches at that point.
Yeah. Come on, bro. You know, like, we've been talking about our bullpen, you know, for a while. And where we at right now, he's been getting hit, right, after the 80 pitches. So in that situation, you know, it was the bullpen.
How much of that is just kind of built in and kind of taking care of? We were talking about that a lot, too.
No, it was more about taking care of the game. You know, he gave us enough. You know, he got the ground ball. I mean, we loaded the bases. He made a good pitch, got the guy out. You know, they put pressure on him the whole night. But, you know, six is good, huh? The six innings is really good, and, you know, we didn't do the job at the end.
You said we're going to do tomorrow about pitching
on. We'll talk about it now.
What have you seen Soto at
the
plate reaches base three times
against? Just a quality at bat. You know, he has a pretty good idea of what to swing at. He doesn't chase. He gets to the fastball. It's been good. And the fact that he's a switch hitter, it gives us, you know, kind of like the luxury of being patient and use the other guys when we have to. He's been solid. He played great defense too. Made some nice plays at second and at shortstop. So far it's been fun to watch.
All right, so that's Alex Cora talking after the Red Sox 8-4 loss against the Astros tonight, and hitting on Nick Sogard at the end. He did reach base three times tonight. That's why he was my pick for the Mike's Amazing Player of the Game. Thought he deserved it. But he also hit on some stuff with Tanner Houck and the bullpen part of it as well. And if you want to call in, by the way, 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. We want to hear your thoughts after this loss tonight against the Astros. Are you more concerned after the way the bullpen ended up melting down tonight? But I thought one thing that was percolating a bit on Twitter tonight was the part about Tanner Houck being pulled after 82 pitches in six innings. And there were some people questioning, and there was a question there in that post-game presser there that you just heard from Alex Cora about why Tanner Houck was taken out after 82 pitches. Sure, when you hear 82 pitches, that's not that much. But the context is, there has to be context to this. And what I mean by that is Tanner Houck has already blown past his professional high in innings pitched. He's already done that. And we still have a ways to go. We're in early August. So that's one part of it. You want to make sure that he's okay down the stretch. And again, it's not as if his stuff was so electric that he was getting swing and misses. He wasn't. Again, only two tonight. But to his credit, he found a way to still toss six innings of one-run ball. You make the moves that you do at the trade deadline because of bolstering a bullpen that you hope to utilize in a game like tonight where you have a 3-1 lead going into the seventh, they can get it done. And they didn't. They just didn't. And it hurts because these games are so important. With this team making moves to be a buyer at the trade deadline, believing it can make the playoffs, it sucks to lose games like this. And we'll see now how they respond. Friday part of it, that's been an issue all season long. The series opener at home have also been an issue all season long. We'll get into that. We'll get into more of this game. And, of course, your calls as well. 617-779-7937. We take a quick break. We get to your calls next here on Red Sox Review.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Sims is working out of the stretch. His pitch hit high in the air and deep down the left field line, and that's going to get out of here. Over the monster seats, a two-run homer, and the Astros have tied it at three as Altuve goes deep for the 15th time this year. He's driven in 50. And it's a 3-3 game. That was a bomb off the bat of the diminutive Altuve. Even though he's not tall, he's solidly put together, has plenty of pop.
And we've seen that pop from Jose Altuve just too many times. he's kind of turning himself into a little bit of a Red Sox killer. And that swing of the bat was one of the biggest swings of the night. That was the highlight from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Hurry in and save big on a new Nissan and at the Nissan end of summer sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Joe Wild with you here on Red Sox Review. Sox fall 8-4 against the Houston Astros. But Jose Altuve has now hit 6 home runs in his last 11 games at Fenway Park. And the Sox once again drop a series opener at Fenway. They are now 5-14 in series openers at Fenway here in 2024. This one looked like it was trending toward a Red Sox W because they were up 3-1 going into the seventh inning. But then Jose Altuve hits that 2-run shot to tie the game up. And then the Astros string together after that 5 consecutive singles and end up taking the lead by plating 2 more runs in the seventh. They could tack on 3 in the ninth and once again pick up the victory against the Red Sox. But we'll see how the team responds. Josh Winkowski getting the start tomorrow for the Red Sox. So it was an unknown coming into today's game who was going to start tomorrow. We now know it's Josh Winkowski. Zach Coe behind the glass. Joe Wild with you here behind the mic. Let's go to the phones for the first time. We go to David in Florida. What's going on, David?
Hello?
David, you got us?
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Thank you. First of all, about Cora, I disagree with you that I think Hawks should have gone one more inning. But in addition to that, what is Cora doing putting Hamilton at shortstop? How many errors does he have to make before he continues to put him out there? It's ridiculous. It's just absolutely asinine. I just don't get it. I mean, he's not a good manager, as good as everybody says he is. He's not
demanding. Why is he getting paid as much as he is, David, if he's not a good manager? Why do all the players love him?
Because the rest are stupid. They love him because he's a doormat. Because he's a substitute.
He's not a doormat.
He's not a doormat.
Ask Alex Rodriguez if he's a doormat.
He waits too long to take any action. I mean, there was a week ago, Aaron Boone benched Gleyber Torres for not running out of play. But Cora doesn't do anything.
Who is he supposed to bench, David?
Hamilton, pull him in the middle of the game for making those stupid errors that he makes.
Hold on. 1 second, David. We're probably down for 1 second here. Because say he did bench David Hamilton after he makes an error in the second inning, top of the second. He immediately responded by hitting a 2-run double in the bottom of the second inning.
Okay. Make up for errors in baseball. It's like football. You cannot win when you turn the ball over. And that's what errors are. You give the team more runs, more outs. You cannot have that. And base hits do not make up for errors. Period.
I'm not saying that David Hamilton's Cal Ripken Jr., but I am saying that he's. I don't think you can say that Alex Cora is a doormat. That's not fair. It's not.
He's a doormat. I say. Well, he doesn't get the most out of the players.
He
does not get them because he's.
What are you
permissive.
Talking about, David?
I mean,
this team that had no expectations is in the playoff race. All right, I don't know if I can do it anymore, David. I appreciate the call.
To say that Alex Cora is a doormat and then immediately be like, look at Aaron Boone, is hilarious. David Hamilton was +2 on the night. He made that error that didn't come around to score and then scored 2 on the double.
Well, that's one part of it. And again, I'm not saying he's the greatest shortstop ever, but I just, you hit it on the head there. Zach, I mean, to then say he's a doormat. What about it? Look at this thing Aaron Boone did. Come on, Aaron Boone, who says consistently, "Hey, it's right in front of us." And then to say that they don't get the best out of the players too. I mean, come on, this team that nobody had expectations for is fighting for a playoff spot. That they were enough in a good enough position that their general manager not only wanted to pay Alex Cora as one of the highest paid managers in baseball. So clearly the industry thinks that. The players love him. But then on top of that, the GM actually wants to add to this team. Come on. 617-779.
I think if you were to ask people to describe Alex Cora, not a single person would say he doesn't get the most out of his players. I would say that's his
strongest
suit.
Who would say he's a doormat, too? I don't.
No one. Not a soul.
Come on. 617-779-7937. That's not to say you can't ever disagree with me on a take I have about Alex Cora, and I've never always... It's not like every single show I'm 100% in his favor. I do think if you listen to me on these shows, you know that I do think he's one of, if not the best manager in the sport. But come on with that. Let's go to Liam in Portsmouth. Liam, what's going on?
Joe, perfect that you're putting me on because I was actually going to call to talk about Cora. Initially, when I was at the ballpark tonight, I thought I was going to be calling in about the bonehead Dom Smith move. I mean, how many of those are we going to see in a year? But if there's anyone I feel terrible. I would never want to be in Cora's position because no matter what decision he makes, he's going to be criticized. Clearly, we have an issue with our arms right now, both starters and relievers. And whatever decision he makes, whether it's pulling Hauk after 82, which I think is smart. Hauk's arm's pretty much has been proven to be pretty much dead as of late. We don't want to burn him into the ground as we go through this playoffs, as we work through. And then we go, you know, the bullpen. We need them to come through once in a while. Like, hey, right, here we go. We got Sims. We picked him up. He lets up a lot of ground balls. That's good. He should get us out of the inning. Well, what does he do? He blows it. So he's in a tough situation. We can't really blame him. And to go back to David there, Hamilton, yes, he's not great defensively. His arm is a noodle. But he's a great hitter. I do like having Hamilton on the team. I think he's a better second baseman. He's more fit for that than short. But I think that's a bat that we do need in the lineup. We need his speed. We need his bat. We can't have him on the bench. I think we do have to chalk this up to, hey, this is the Friday Sox, man. You know, we're going to come back tomorrow with our City Connect record, and we're going to take them out. And then Sunday Sox. That's how we got to look at it.
Listen, I am all aboard Sunday Sox. I agree with you that the Friday Sox have been an issue. Liam, do you know the record? Because I was just looking it up to make sure I had it right.
It's got to be 4-15 or something
it's
like
five,
that.
It's 5-15.
Yeah. Not good.
Not great. Not great. Sundays are a much different story. Much better on Sundays. But, no, you're exactly right. Chalk it up to Sunday Sox. And, you know, again, I was hitting on this, too. They're 5-14 in series openers at home. So this just doesn't happen. They don't win these games. But we do see them respond a lot of times. So hopefully we see that. And, Liam, appreciate the call. Thanks for chiming in. All right, so that was good stuff there from Liam in Portsmouth. I think, you know, he was touching on the pitch count part of the Tanner Houck decision to take him out after six innings. Again, I just think that the Sox are in a tough spot right now with these starters and where they're at this year. Tanner Houck is your ace. He's your ace. You need to take care of him because you want to make it to the finish line and be in a playoff spot so that you can play in the postseason. They have to maintain this balance of making sure that he's in an okay spot, that he can continue to post and make starts every fifth day or whatever it is in terms of his turn of the rotation. You're fighting a tough battle here with where some of these starters are at in their career. I mean, we've seen Cutter Crawford's performances recently and how the home run balls completely killed him. They just have to be careful with these guys. But that's why you also add arms. And listen, I think if you just chalk this up to the bullpen didn't get its job done. But I do think that this team is in this position right now with the starting rotation and the concerns about the workload, but also the way that they've pitched recently. Because, you know, again, like this road trip that they just went on, the starters had an ERA of 7.36. One run, six innings tonight, which you love. And I love the way he battled. And I love the way he's battled all season long. But because of the inaction in the offseason, this team is in this position right now where they're really hoping that these guys can hold up down the stretch. And to me, that is the chief concern right now about this team. Defense is probably the second because they're still among the worst in like pretty much every defensive category, even as good as the outfield is on the defensive side of things. But it's the starting pitching first and foremost that concerns me the most. Zach, I mean, I would assume you'd agree with that.
Yeah, easily. Quick note on Houck. This is now the sixth straight start that he's walked two or more batters. So the command hasn't been there for at least the last six starts now. Obviously, like you said, the bullpen hasn't been great since the All-Star break, and you're starting to see some wear and tear on Cutter, Tanner Houck, and guys like that. I know we were talking before the show about Rich Hill maybe bringing him in, but I think the chief concern right now is finding a way to work extra days of rest in for primarily Cutter and Houck.
One other note on Houck, too. It's the fourth time in his last six starts he has struck out two or fewer. But again, he made it through six, only one run allowed, got a lot of weak contact, 20 ball, batted balls against him, only four hard hit. So to his credit, he got the job done. Again, the bullpen just didn't do it. Its job.
I think that's kind of like something that you're looking for in the development of guys like Houck and Cutter Crawford, because even when their stuff isn't their best, they're still going out grinding through starts and putting up 6 one-run innings.
And Alex Cora, he doesn't seem concerned in the sense of, you know, him continuing to make starts as we continue to go down the stretch. He wants to manage the workload. And again, that's why after 82 pitches, you're going to your bullpen that's locked and loaded, ready to go. They just had a day off yesterday. And just plain and simple, they didn't get the job done. And I that's sometimes something I hate about our discourse is like, okay, you make a logical move, but then the next thing doesn't work out, so you blame the manager for making the logical move. But it's just baseball. This happens sometimes. It's frustrating because every game matters right now. But it's just how things ended up shaking out. Again, 617-779-7937 is the number to call in here for Red Sox Review. If you missed it, Astros won 8-4 against the Sox. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ryan in Fall River. He's got some thoughts on the game. What's going on, Ryan?
How's it going? First time caller, you know what I'm saying? Is ownership even on the same page anymore?
With whom?
Like, is ownership even on the same page anymore? About, you know, like, after the All-Star break, we have had a little slump. What do you think the Red Sox are going to do from here on?
Well, we'll see, Ryan. Appreciate the call. If you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. I feel like we've hit on that. It's like, okay, go to Cora 1, ownership 2. I mean, listen, they added at the trade deadline. I know they didn't make the big move, but it's not as if so many teams made the big move. Like, the big move, I don't know, Zach, the big move to me was Jack Flaherty, right? Like, you'd say that was the biggest move made at the trade deadline?
Yeah.
All right, so one team made that move. It was a seller's market, and the Sox added. They did try, even if it's not going out and making, like, you know, I think of trade deadline moves of my lifetime that are the ones that are, like, the most noteworthy. It's not like they went got, like, a CC Sabathia like the Brewers did in 2008, you know. But they did stuff. Now, the ownership question, if you're asking about the rumor about the Celtics and all that stuff, I mean, again, I don't know if it necessarily correlates with what's going on right now. Although, that would be crazy, right? But tonight's just a frustrating night. Remember, though, that this team has tried, and again, that's what I liked about the trade deadline, is that they picked a lane, and they went that lane, and they didn't give up anybody. Say that, I think where I feel comfortable with how the trade deadline went is that, say the Red Sox don't make the playoffs, I still don't think they gave up anybody that you're going to feel like you're going to be burned about moving forward. I mean, we will see. Sometimes crazy things happen.
Well, that's one of the things that Cora said on Jones and Mego right after the trade deadline, is that all the big fish relievers and starters, the first two names that everybody said were Marcelo and Roman. So they wanted your top two prospects.
Exactly. Again, 617-779-7937. as the calls are rolling in here on Red Sox Review. If you miss it, 8-4 Astros over the Sox tonight. Joe Weil with you. Zach Coe behind the glass. Right. When they ask for those types of players, you better be getting a stud back. I would have at least entertained a conversation with the big three part of it, where if it was like a Tarek Skubal coming back, dealing one of the, two of those guys, just because he is one of the best young starters in the sport. No, they did enough. They have to perform now. Like, Lucas Sims can't give up four runs in a third of an inning, and he's been great outside of tonight's outing, so that's what's frustrating about it. So hopefully these bullpen meltdowns like we saw tonight don't happen moving forward, because the bullpen is going to need to be relied upon down the stretch. But you have a locked and loaded bullpen now. Chris Martin just came back. You're going to get Justin Slayton back hopefully fairly soon. Liam Hendricks is working his way back from Tommy John surgery. Like, think about all the good arms that are going to be in that bullpen when it's finally locked and loaded. Clearly, Brennan Bernardino's getting a little bit tired. He's utilized a lot. Cam Boozer had a tough night. Otherwise, he's been pretty good this year. That bullpen needs to step up and perform, and that's why this team added there. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Lucas in Chicopee. What's going on, Lucas?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no, I wanted to discuss the whole general manager situation here, man. Like, I think he has to go, man. By the end of the year, he has to go. I remember, you know, we used to spend so much money on players, and, you know, we used to always look for the top prospects and the top stars, and now we're just, I don't know what's going on with this guy, man. I don't know if the team's afraid to spend money now, or they're being too cheap, or I don't know.
So you want to let go of Craig Breslow after not even 1 year?
Honestly, it's like I'm tired of this whole, this whole trial process. We had Dave Dombrowski for a couple seasons. Now we're having this guy, you know, like, I don't know what's going on with the general manager situation. Like, they just be hiring, you know. And then I just feel we need to go out and get some more, like you said, relief pitchers, man. Like, an offseason, go get some good relief pitchers. Like, these guys are being used too much. And it's just, you know, like, we're using and abusing these guys.
Well, and this is the situation that the Red Sox are currently in. And Lucas, thanks for chiming in. I mean, with Craig Breslow, he needs more than 1 year. I think what Lucas was trying to get at was the consistent churns at the general manager spot, which there have been a lot, right? In this championship era, you know, you go from Dan Duquette to Theo, and then you go to Ben Sherrington. Then you go to Dave Dombrowski, then you go to Heim, and of course now with Craig Breslow. So there, I mean, that part of it makes sense. You got to give Craig Breslow more time. I already have liked most of the moves he's made this year. The one that really hasn't worked out is Vaughn Grissom, which somebody was texting in, what's Vaughn Grissom's future with the Red Sox? It's a great question. But at least at the current juncture, he just got optioned down to Worcester, so he's going to be down there for a bit. Try to get his swing right, because he's had just such a disjointed year with the hamstring injuries and all that stuff. But in terms of what this team needs to do in the offseason, I think it's the same as what it was last offseason. You need starting pitching. Now, they did sign Lucas Giolito, and he didn't end up posting at all this year. So hopefully you get him back healthy next year. But they'll have to make a decision on Nick Pivetta, because he's an unrestricted free agent coming up. And I still think you need to go out and spend on somebody. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phones. We hit up Steve in Providence. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for calling him.
Oh, thanks for having me. I was notified when I called in. I didn't realize that Cooper Criswell was on the COVID list.
Yep.
But if I'm not mistaken, I think the last start he got was a 7-inning shutout appearance. Is that the last start he got, if I'm not mistaken?
I'm looking it up to just make sure I don't have that you have that correct. But are you a big Cooper Criswell guy?
No, but I just really liked what I saw, especially in that outing from, especially pitching in Colorado in a kind of a shaky series for the Red Sox. It's a shame that he's on the COVID list, but it would be great to see him get into more games, and a guy like that, who he's not the youngest guy, but he's also not super experienced, build up some confidence in the guy, and obviously he got some run support that night. The team seems to like him. That's the kind of guy that might give you a lot of innings and give somebody like Houck, somebody like Bayo some relief later in the season, especially if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he's. I think he'll factor in down the stretch, Steven. His last start was the seven shutout innings against Colorado. I just wanted to make sure I had that right before I confirmed it. But because since then he's pitched out of the bullpen, so that's not his last outing. But his last start, yeah, was seven shutout innings. One thing I have wondered at some point if they would consider doing is maybe going to a six-man rotation just at some point, you know, and honestly, maybe some point, you know, once Cooper Criswell comes off of the COVID list, if they go do that, because they're in this stretch of 27 games in 27 days. So they're going to need people to post and start, so maybe Cooper Criswell ends up being that guy. Love the calls rolling in right now. 617-779-7937. Again, if you're just joining us, Red Sox lost 8-4 against the Houston Astros. Now, last I checked, I'm just going to give it a look right now. We'll go back to the phones here in one moment. We were checking in on the Royals to see how they were doing in their game. And it's been a bit since we've been chatting to you guys. Last I saw, they were trailing against the Cardinals, and the Cardinals won. So the Cardinals won 8-5. So that means the Red Sox, going into tomorrow's action, still a game and a half back of that third wild card spot. Minnesota's creating more distance right now because they are playing really good baseball. And the Twins actually won both those games against the Guardians, who have won seven or have lost seven in a row. That AL Central race, just to get off topic for 1 second, that race is going to be interesting. Twins, Guardians, Royals, who's going to win it? Who's going to fall down to the wild card race? Very fascinating. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to, we have Bob in Indiana coming up next. I believe he's our next one.
Hi there.
What's going on, Bob?
Hi there. I wanted to. I was curious about something. I don't know whether Cora has explained at all about this, but when Hamilton and Sogard are the middle infielders, I wonder what determines who's going to play second and who's going to play short. I wondered when Rafael is a short, I wonder if that's more likely that Sogard stays a second then at that point.
Yep. So, I mean, yeah, so when Sadon plays short, yeah, right, Nick Sogard would play second base.
So I just wondered, because either Hamilton and Sogard can both play either position. So I didn't know if he explained what goes into the thinking, who's going to be at short and who's going to be at second.
Well, and I think part of it, and it's a fair question, Bob, just because you look at Nick Sogard, he primarily, of all the positions he played shortstop this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the organization is committed to David Hamilton getting reps at shortstop. He was a defensive player of the year in the minor leagues at one point. I think they believe in his ability to play that spot. So, and they need help at second. They do need help at second base too. Maybe there's a time here in the future that they flip flop and they put Sogard at short and maybe Hamilton at second base in a situation where Sadon plays center field. But I think for right now they like this alignment. And you know, again, I know David Hamilton made an error tonight, but I think they still believe he can play that spot.
Yeah, that was a tough hop. It was a high hop, so I guess he would have been surprised by that anyway. Taking that hop as high as it was.
Absolutely. Hey, Bob, are there a lot of Red Sox fans in Indiana? Are there more than we think?
There are quite a few. There really are. I was I can't anymore. I'm restricted because of my back problems. But when I was in college, I went with a friend in '75. Right out of college for the year, we went out and we saw a game against the White Sox. We lost 9-2 that time. And then in 86, my wife and I went to, in April, late April, we saw a couple games there. And then we so happy about that. We went at the very end of the season, so we were there when the eclipse depended.
Oh, wow.
There. And so both those years, or surprisingly, we went both early in the season, and they went to the World Series both years. and then I got from where we worked at.
Do you have any plans to catch a game soon?
Yeah, are you coming to Fenway this year?
That would be great. But the last time I went was in 2001, played the Braves, and I got tickets from a woman who was dating somebody who had tickets out there.
Gotcha.
So that's how we got tickets out there. But that year they didn't go to the series. But interesting enough, six games, Red Sox won three and lost three, but they never hit a home run. I never saw the Sox hit a home run, which is really bizarre.
We got to get you to Fenway then. Again, World Series magic. So you can see this team hits home runs. That's part of their offensive profile. So anyway,
and I never saw the improvement of the the monster seats and things like that. So anyway,
all right. So monster seats for Bob. We're getting him out to Fenway. Red Sox are going to win the World Series or make the World Series if he makes it. All right, Bob. Thanks for the call.
Thanks so much.
All righty. Let's go to Mike in Buffalo. He wants to talk about the bullpen there. What's going on, Mike?
Well, I was thinking about talking about them, but anyway, you get what you deal for. You know what I mean? And they didn't deal anything for the two. There were two people that would make a difference in the bullpen. That one left-hander, I think, from Miami.
Tanner
and
Scott. You're thinking of Tanner Scott?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Tanner Scott and some other right-hander. And you know when you get people. You know, what pressure has Sims ever pitched under in Cincinnati?
Well, he was a high leverage guy for the Reds. So I think he does know, like the position that they put him in tonight is one he's very familiar with.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I'm just saying Cincinnati's really never in the running. The LA Angels, who they got that other guy, never in the running. But another point I want to make is they play better on the road. I don't know if anybody can call in and tell me, figure that out, because I cannot figure that out. How you score more runs on the road and play on the road?
It's a great question, Mike. No, honestly, it's a great question, and I'm glad you brought that up because that is one of the unanswered questions of this season. And I know you're in tune with this team, and Alex Cora on that first road trip, it was a very illuminating quote talking about, hey, we need to be better at home. We haven't been good at home the last couple of years, and it's killed them once again this year. They're 27-29 at home after the loss tonight.
And they're 10 over on the road.
Right.
And the last thing I'll let you go is that $300 million ball player, I don't know, in the clutch. I don't know about – I love Rafael Devers, but I don't know about him in the clutch. He just doesn't – seem to come through a lot in the clutch. I
don't say this in a condescending way, I promise. What you should do, just take a deep breath, get some sleep, you'll feel better about it in the morning. I promise.
Listen, I'm still losing sleep over the Bruins when St. Louis beat them. I like all four Zach, Boston.
Me too.
I know Zach's feeling that way too.
Yeah, but they'll be better this year, I hope. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for the time.
Yeah, of course, Mike. Thank you. See, you know what? Listen, with Devers, because Zach, you as my witness, know we've gotten some ridiculous Rafael Devers calls. Whereas when somebody was prank calling us, it was like several weeks back about trading Devers, I was trying to explain to the audience, like, we actually get real calls about people being upset about Rafael Devers and trading him. That was more measured. That was more like a really upset in the moment. Why couldn't he come through? And that's why I said that to Mike there from Buffalo about Devers tonight, because he didn't come through. Like, he's been so good this year, but he had a couple of big at-bats, one in the first inning when they had a runner on third and two outs. And I was even telling my fiance, because I was at home watching the game at that point, I was like, he's going to go deep here. And he ends up striking out, made me look bad. And she's like, you don't know anything about baseball. But, you know, and then, you know, he comes up in a big spot in the seventh inning with the bases loaded, two outs, strikes out in that spot. So he had two big moments in this game that he didn't deliver.
Not great.
Not yet, right. But despite that not being great, he's been awesome this year. Career year for Devers. Chalk it up to a bad night for him. for the team offensively with runners in scoring position going 1-for-12. And, of course, the bullpen. 7 runs in 3 innings. Series openers and Friday nights have killed the Red Sox this year, especially at Fenway. How do they respond? We will wait to see. 4:10 first pitch, 3:10 Mass Mutual pregame show. Joe Castig, Sean McDonough on the call. Myself will be on the pregame coverage. We hope you can join us along the Shaws and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Great to talk to everybody. Love the calls. Love the conversation. Zach, any final thoughts?
Might be boots on ground tomorrow, so hopefully they can get things back on track, the City Connect Sox.
Oh, I like that. I like that. We wait and see. But anyway, thanks for joining us in Red Sox Review. Have a great night.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.